The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We're back, hour two, 6:09 on your Saturday evening. I'm Randy Corcoran. Good to have you here. Our phone number, 303-696-1971, 696-1971. You know that the tide is turning when powerful media figures like sportscaster Stephen A. Smith, not a sportscaster, sports commentator, clearly no conservative, votes Democrat, as you will hear him say himself here in just a moment, comes out and admits, decries his disgust over the Democrats' use of lawfare. This is ESPN's Stephen A. Smith.
When I think about Donald Trump, I think about this case in New York. I mean, I'm looking at the Democrats right now. And again, primarily, I have voted Democrat throughout my life, but I'm utterly disgusted with what I'm seeing, because it seems to me that they're trying to use the law and the courts. They've clearly politicized this thing with Donald Trump because they can't come up with a strategy to offset the momentum he's clearly gained. In at least five polls, he's up. He's up in the polls over Biden, at least five polls that I counted. That's the reality of the situation. Despite the counts against them, the indictments against them, being impeached twice and all of this other stuff, he is the presumptive GOP nominee. And you don't seem to have the issues in your favor, you believe. So because of that, you're going to manipulate the system as best as you possibly can to avoid him possibly running for re-election again. That appears to be their strategy, but I'm here to tell you, it's not working.
It's not working. Nor is it going to work. And this earned media that Donald Trump gets, even while he sits in court all day and then comes out and makes his, you know, 2-3-4 minute statements, gets played all around the world. And you see the polling. The Democrats have to see the polling in an election after all of the COVID-related and other shenanigans that went on in 2020. But Donald Trump ostensibly lost, if you believe the vote count, even with the numbers that were reported. 80 million people voted for Basement Joe. Unprecedented. Even if you believe those numbers, Donald Trump lost the Electoral College by about 42,000 votes. So, of course, they're terrified. Of course, they're terrified. And what do they do with a guy who has so much fun with it?
Not only that, all these local cases like Fawny. It's spelled Fanny. It's spelled Fanny like your ass, right, Fanny?
I just never get tired of that clip. Never will. Never have. Never will. Text messages are rolling in. Alexa, I did not know about this wonderful survey. Man, oh man. She says, Randy, so telling that the White House has assigned walkers to Biden to put between Biden and the press pool to draw less attention to his halting and stiff gait. Have you seen the videos? Have you seen the videos of how they're covering Biden now with staff so you can't see? There's a great meme on Twitter that has Biden walking from the helicopter to the White House and a robot walking side by side, and the stiff gait is just virtually identical. And so, yes, I get that. And Alexa as well shared with me, and I had not seen this. There's a Twitter page. I'm now following it. It's called Do Better Denver. And they published a survey, Colorado, the second most dangerous state, according to the 2024 study. And they say, thanks to our city and state leadership who continue to push legislative or continue to push progressive legislation that protects the criminals over law-abiding citizens. And here's what the survey says about Colorado. Here are the 10 most dangerous states, starting at the least most dangerous: Louisiana at number 10, North Carolina at number 9, Washington 8, Oklahoma 7, Arkansas 6, Tennessee 5, Nevada 4, Pennsylvania 3, New Mexico number 1 most dangerous state. Colorado comes in at number 2 with what they give a safety score of 49.2 because of an assault offense rate of 1,053.1 assaults per 100,000 people, and a homicide offense rate of 7.5 per 100,000 of people, raises many concerns for Colorado residents. The state faces its own challenges, marked by a high motor vehicle theft rate of 708.4 per 100,000. And wasn't that number one last year? I think we were what a great way to be number one in auto theft. And a larceny theft rate of 2,087.6 larceny theft actions per 100,000 people. Holy smoke. And they close it out by saying, despite these concerns, the beauty of its landscapes contrasts starkly with the need to address issues like extortion blackmail, which stands at 15.4 per 100,000, the highest among all of the top 10 most dangerous states in America. Thank you, Jared Polis. Thank you, Democrat legislature. Job well done. All right, I mentioned in the first hour I had some great audio with regard to these indictments out of Arizona. Mike Davis, former United States Supreme Court clerk, I believe he clerked for Justice Brett Kavanaugh, now a very vocal commentator on Newsmax and elsewhere, very prominent on social media. But he was on Newsmax just a day or so ago. I guess it must have been yesterday, because didn't the indictment just come out Thursday night or Friday morning? Anyway, here's what he had to say on Newsmax with Rob Schmidt.
Mike, I want to start with you. Sotomayor today asking about fraudulent electors. That's their key word, right? Wondering how, you know, that action could be justified, what they did here with the alternate electors, as I said. The president's lawyer saying the idea that they're fraudulent is ridiculous on its face, he said before the Supreme Court, reminding the court that there was no deception by Trump or his team about who had emerged from the relevant state conventions, and this was being done on an alternative basis. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Rudy Giuliani had the real electors tied up in his trunk and sent in the fake electors with fake IDs. Everyone knew what was happening. You have to have contingent electors. You have to have alternate electors. So if your side prevails, you can have your electors go to the Electoral College and vote. And if you don't have alternate electors, how are you going to have your electors go to the Electoral College and vote? This is part of the Democrats' language that they use to try to delegitimize President Trump's lawful challenge under the Electoral Count Act of 1887 to the 2020 election, just like Democrats objected to Republican wins in 1968, 2000, 2004, and 2016. We don't see Al Gore and John Kerry and Hillary Clinton in prison for that.
How is it that so-called Republican commentators, you know, the Dick Wadhams class of the Republican Party, spend all of their time bashing on Dave Williams, bashing on me? I got a Google alert that I was mentioned in an article. I clicked and saw it was something written by Dick Wadhams. I didn't even bother to read it. When these attacks are going on against Republicans, against people standing up for elections, Democrats paid no penalty for challenging elections in all of those years that Mike Davis just mentioned. Because there should be no penalty. There is nothing wrong with challenging elections. There's nothing wrong with wanting to look into election machines. Elections should not be done by hackable computer machines. Period. There's nothing wrong with talking about illegal ballot harvesting, illegal minimized signature verification. There's nothing wrong about any of it. And Mike Davis with Rob Schmidt there was also on with Abe Hamada, who I talked quite a bit about in the first hour, the attorney general candidate in Arizona who lost by 500 and then after a recount 200 votes to the Democrat who's now prosecuting friends of mine, people I know well, people that I've worked with or communicated with. And he had an awful lot to say about the Arizona indictment.
Abe, I want to take a listen to Attorney General Mays on MSNBC not too long ago.
We absolutely have to get President Biden reelected.
Now, I'm stopping.
Abe, I want to take a listen.
I'm stopping that so we can start it over. I should have really cut out the Arizona Democrat AG's comment and to be able to play it separately. But listen to her bias, where she's coming from, and then think about the fact that she's the one that brought these indictments against people I know, like Tyler Boyer, the Republican National Committee man from Arizona, Kelly Ward and her husband. I can't remember if his name is Mark or Michael, but the former chair of the Colorado or the Arizona State GOP, former U.S. Senate candidate, took on John McCain a couple of times, put a pretty good dent in the McCain machine. But of course, McCain always squeaked through by promising to repeal and replace Obamacare. And then when he, as the deciding vote, had the chance to do so, 2 o'clock in the morning, because of his hatred for Donald Trump, Mitch McConnell standing there watching him with his arms folded at this most pivotal point in John McCain's political career, and where he forever shamed himself by walking up and giving the thumbs down after raising millions and millions of dollars for his ongoing Senate candidates, promising to repeal and replace Obamacare. But anyway, Kelly Ward, her husband, so I know those four, and then the people who have worked for, surrounded, been surrounding President Trump, also on this indictment, Rudy Giuliani, my actual good friend, professor and attorney, at least in D.C. for now, John Eastman, Boris Epstein, Jenna Ellis, Christina Bob, who I had dinner with just, gosh, a few weeks ago, and she's now the head election integrity attorney for the RNC. Can't have that. Got to go after these people on these phony, fake elector claims. Democrats did it in Hawaii years ago. I forget the year. It might have even been late 60s where they were going to challenge an election. If you do that, you have to have an alternate slate of electors. I like the way Rob Schmidt and I think Mike Davis affirmed pointing out the difference between fraudulent electors and alternate electors, perfectly legal in our system. But lawfare takes these people out of their game. Former chief of staff, former congressman, another guy I've spent some time with, even fundraised with Mark Meadows for Ken Buck back in the day when Ken Buck was a swamp drainer. Even got to read Drain the Swamp in its rough form, sent to me for comment before the book was actually released. And then Ken Buck bails before the end of his term, putting the Republican majority in the House, the slim Republican majority, at risk. And then Mike Gallagher does the same thing, but waits to leave so that he can't be replaced right away. What is behind the thinking of these people? I just don't get it. I have talked to people who've looked at the indictment out of Arizona. They say it's the weakest of the bunch. I believe in the end that John Eastman will be 100% vindicated. on all of the bogus charges against him, including the attacks on his bar license, the evidence that he poured into the Democrat-led attack on his law license in California was extraordinary. Ignored, of course, in the 160-page ruling by the judge. If you listen to any of that hearing, you could hear the bias dripping from some of the comments that were made by that court and the rulings that were made. And appeals take time. And I remain highly confident that on appeal, people like John Eastman will be completely vindicated. I know we've got callers on the line. Joan, need you to sit tight. I think you're going to change horses on me here, but I don't mind that at all, because people's rights are being attacked in these waning days of the Colorado Democrat supermajority legislature. So we certainly want to talk about that. But let's take our pause now. That way we've got plenty of time with callers on the other side. Don't forget our number, 303-696-1971. I'm Randy Corcoran. Stay right there, 710 KNUS. A little more Simon and Garfunkel. Because I love that song. As I head into summer and an anniversary that I would love to forget or have never experienced, it just fits right into that mantra, that feeling as you come up on an anniversary like that. But I'm finding lots and lots of blessings in my life and moving forward, fighting on, and glad to be here to do it. I'll tell you, I was at a book signing last night with an author on grief, and it turned into kind of a mini grief group, and just a powerful, I don't know, maybe 60, 70 minutes of hearing from people and how they plow through some of the biggest losses that you can just possibly imagine and what you can learn from it and what an appreciation you get if you can get over the I don't want to say selfish pain, the selfish hurt, because it's not selfish, but it can lock you up. It can entrap you and make it impossible to continue to do the things you need to do for your family, for your country, for your business, for all of those things. And if you understand just how fleeting life can be, two of us were there, people who had lost the loves of our lives unexpectedly. And man, oh man, it just completely unexpectedly. And if that doesn't teach you how valuable life is and how to treasure every minute and to look for joy, look for love, and give it as much as you can, nothing will. It's a community I never wanted to be a part of, but it is a community that I have learned a great deal from, and for that, I am incredibly grateful. In the first hour, we're going to jump to the phones here in a sec, but in the first hour, Alexa, often our first and most regular... Oh, by the way, thanks to the great American Eric for sending me the names of the so-called fraudulent electors in the Arizona indictment. Always good to hear from you, Eric. I'm missing my burritos, but... I hope that you're doing well, my friend. And anyway, back to Alexa. At the start of the show, she was commenting on these Biden lies that they're just pour out. He did an interview with Howard Stern. And remember, this is a guy who had to bow out of two presidential races because of his lies. He bragged about being, top in his class at his law school, and then he was confronted with the truth, and eventually he had to apologize and bow out. And when he was young, when he had energy, when he had the pieces of his brain, small as it always has been, able to connect to each other and actually function, he still was a lying mess. And so that's part of the reason they kept him in the basement, not just his declining condition, but because if he talks too much, he inevitably lies. But let's just start with this one.
I see an America where we protect freedoms, not take them away. I see an economy the gross and the middle out and the bottom up, where the wealthy pay their fair share, so we can have child care, paid leave, and so much more, and still reduce the federal deficit and increase economic growth. Folks, imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Pause. I wonder if they wrote that in long letters on the teleprompter. Four more years. Pause. Because that's sure the way he read it.
I don't know if you're going to debate your opponent.
I am somewhere. I don't know when. I'm happy to debate him.
I don't know where or when. I'm happy to pause. Debate him.
And I looked at my mom. I said, honey, you haven't said anything. She said, Joey, let me
see. I just got to stop that right there. And Alexa pointed this out even before she knew we had these clips, that Biden calling his own mom honey. I mean, maybe this is a guy whose daughter wrote about him taking inappropriate showers with her in her own diary. So maybe that's learned behavior.
And I looked at my mom. I said, honey, you haven't said anything. She said, Joey, let me remember. True story. So remember when they were desegregating Linfield, the neighborhood, with 70 homes built at one suburbia? And I told you, and there was a black family moving in, and there was people were down there protesting. I told you not to go down there, and you went down. Remember that? And you came, got arrested, be standing on the porch with a black family.
Right.
And they brought you back, the police. And I said, yeah, Mom, I remember that.
Howard Stern, who Trump refers to as the dying Howard Stern show, I'd have no idea. I haven't heard a thing from Howard Stern in a long, long time. Absolutely no evidence in the historical record that Joe, creepy, sleepy, showered with daughter, lying, plagiarizing Joe Biden, ever got arrested. The evidence is not there. He just can't stop. He just can't figure out a way to get through more than 3 or 4 minutes without coming up with a new fabrication. Remember what he said last week? And then I promise we'll jump right to the phones.
And my uncle, they called him Ambrose Brosey, they called him Bosey. My uncle Bosey was a hell of an athlete. They tell me when he was a kid. And he became an Army Air Corps before the Air Force came along. He flew those single-engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. And he got shot down in New Guinea. And they never found the body because there were a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea.
Anytime Joe Biden says for real, you know it's for fraud. It is for lie. It is just his brain. He lied when his brain wasn't misfiring. He lied like a serial liar when his brain wasn't misfiring as a young man. Cost him moving forward in prior presidential elections. He simply can't help it. All right, I kept promising phone calls. Let's do it now. Jim in Littleton wants to, I think, bitch a bit about the Republican Party. Well, you came to the right place for that, Jim. Welcome to the show.
Hey Randy. So, I was just going to say, I just think the Republican Party is just a speed bump for the Democrats. I've seen nothing that they've done since they've recaptured the House to even just stop the Democrat agenda. They got nothing out of this last bill. The one thing that they could have done, they didn't do. I just don't see where the Republicans have done anything that they for the people, which they could have done. They held the purse strings and they did nothing.
Yeah, you know, back in the day when we used to have a lot of debate about government shutdowns and actually exercising the power of the purse, I would play I would read back over all the times that Ronald Reagan, you know, called the bluff, let things be shut down, refused to sign bills, stared down the air controllers of America, and just all the different ways that the power of the purse could be used. It seems now like the Republicans have simply decided that it's politically bad for us. We will never, ever do it. And if that's the case, then the House of Representatives has taken away their most powerful tool. And it is terrifying. They think the electoral consequences of actually standing for something are too great, and so they won't do it. Mike Johnson, to me, has been a tremendous disappointment. Now, he is doing a podcast, and it plays here on 710 KNUS. Jim and I listened to it this morning, missed the very beginning of it, but about 20, 25 minutes with the speaker, where he was asked to explain himself by a friendly interviewer, to explain, you know, sending all the money to Ukraine. And, you know, you probably heard us play or talk about when he went into the skiff and the intelligence people actually, you know, opened up his eyes about the state of the world and the state of the country. He made a strong shift of position. But these are the same people who lied about Donald Trump. 51, you know, high-ranking intelligence officials said the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian misinformation, the Russia collusion lie to try and take Donald Trump down after he went into the White House for the very first time. So why would Johnson believe these people? And what difference does it make if the people who are closest, the elected officials who are closest to the people in the House of Representatives, are not willing to utilize that power? They're telling us there are things that we as the American people just simply can't know. And because of those things that they can't talk about and we can't know, they have to do the things that we tell them we don't want them to do. It's terrifying.
Well, all you're doing is confirming what I'm saying. I've been saying, I mean, I would be a Republican if I felt they actually listened to me. There's nothing the Republican Party has done where it's listened to the people and tried to think. I mean, seriously, they should be able to say.
And Jim, I don't know if you're on AirPods or not, but I've learned that, like, if you hold your head up, they get real muffled, like if your chin is down or something like that. You sound better now.
Okay, I'm just going to say, you know, the Republican Party, I can lay it out as plain as possible. They should be running on the border, shutting down the drugs. And they should also do on, the illegal limit is number one. And yet you don't hardly hear any Republicans, maybe on this show, ever talk about it. It should be like every time a Republican speaks, they should be saying, we need to protect our citizens. They're dying of overdose. I don't hear the Republican Party doing it. And nor do I trust the Republican Party would give a damn. It seems to me that all they do is speak. They do nothing.
Well, they claim they complain about their sparse numbers in the House, and I get that. And then Mike Johnson went to the same old tired trope that, you know, without a Republican Senate or a Republican president, we can't get these bills that we've passed into law. So the point is, if you have the purse strings, then you shut it down.
Right.
And they won't do it. And so we just need to continue to send stronger willed people to Congress. I think that's what we're going to do with Dave Williams. We already know that Lauren Boebert has, for all the flaws people want to ascribe to her now, has a steel spine. Some of the other people that are running are strong Republicans. We can strengthen our meager majority in the House of Representatives if we win CD8, if we win CD5, if we win CD3. But it's a tough road, man. And Mike Johnson has been one of the biggest disappointments of my life. I really thought that he was going to, he went in there saying, we're going to fund the border and we're not going to budge on it. And then just folded like a cheap suit. I don't know what these intelligence folks get on these people, but it seems to be very, very effective. But what's our alternative, Jim? Are you not going to vote? Are you going to turn your back and walk away? Or are you going to help us try and elect more strong Republicans around the country and especially reelect Donald Trump?
I will give Dave Williams money. I will give Lauren Boebert money, those candidates. And I don't think of anyone else I will give money to. And, another reason why I don't know if I will, because I'm tired of getting texts asking for money. I can't seem to shut that thing off, and it just upsets the hell out of me. I gave money, and now I'm getting abused by
whoever.
Jim, have you and I talked about this before at all on the air?
Yes.
I mean, this every time we go to an RNC meeting, the, you know, the 30 growing percentage of grassroots activists and constitutional conservatives who are now getting elected to the RNC, we bring this up and we're told every single time that, you know, we know that certain people get upset about it, but it's very effective. Apparently it works. And, you know, it just makes me sick to my stomach when I think about people like you who would work for the Republican Party, who will vote for Republicans that they believe will actually stand on the things that they say, get insulted like this. What are you, not a Republican anymore? Do you want to hand the House over to the Democrats? It's a horrific way to raise money. I get the texts from the Democrats because I put myself in a position where I can see what some of that stuff is. And they don't come at their constituents that way. They say, look, chip in $5 to beat, you know, the evil Hitler-like Donald Trump. I mean, they motivate their people to make those small donations. We seem to want to insult our people. I'm opposed to it. We don't have the majority on the RNC yet, but we're getting there.
So why don't you mention that if you got any of those guys up there in Washington D.C. Site, put a text out that says, if you give us $25, we promise no more text to you. I would give.
Boy, they would one time bring in about $1 billion, and then it would all dry up because I'd pay 25. I get those texts. I'm a Republican National Committee man, and I get those texts. So I get your frustration, my friend, and but I appreciate you listening and calling into the show. Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye. All right. Well, we've run up against the break. So, Joan, sit tight. We will grab you on the other side. No more clips, no more rambles. We'll get right to your point. Some dangerous legislation coming down the pike right here in our own backyard. Joan is next. Stay with us here on 710 KNUS. Yes, just trying to get back to that good, bright sun, Harley riding spring feel in light of the rain and the snow and the yuck that nailed us this weekend. But what's special about that Beach Boys song, it was not released until 2012. So it was kind of a hidden gem as far as I'm concerned. And it just made me feel good when I stumbled across it. And I hope it did the same for you. One thing I want to say very quickly, and then we'll go to Joan on the radio, on the telephone, is my good buddies, Jim and Joe Hoft at the Gateway Pundit. And I also represent them in a defamation suit here in Denver brought by Dominion's Eric Coomer, have declared bankruptcy. So the corrupt, coordinated, Democrat-controlled media machine and some of the soft-spined local pundits and others are seizing on that, you know, these lawsuits and what are they running from and if they can win and, you know, all of that. And I just want to read this statement. The Gateway, I picked this up from Reuters, which is no friend to the conservative side of the commentary or political spectrum. But here's how they wrote this up. The Gateway Pundit, a far-right news site, and others refer to them as a far-right conspiracy news site, filed for bankruptcy Wednesday following litigation by election workers and others who faced harassment after the site made false claims that the 2020 U.S. election was stolen. Gateway Pundit founder Jim Hoft said in a statement that the bankruptcy filing was the result of, quote, progressive liberal lawfare attacks meant to, quote, silence his company. This is not an admission of fault or culpability. This is a common tool for reorganization and to consolidate litigation when attacks are coming from all sides. There is offensive lawfare, and we're seeing so much of it by the left. If we had better billionaires on the right, we could do more of it from our side. But there's also defensive lawfare, and sometimes bankruptcy can work that way. So don't cry for the Gateway Pundit. They know exactly what they're doing. And listen, I'm acting as a commentator right now. I am a lawyer in their defamation suit. I have nothing to do with, have no knowledge about their bankruptcy. But I know the men, I know the site, and I believe Jim Hoft. And by the way, that was a written statement, so I don't think it was misquoted either. They were, Reuters was quoting him from a written statement. All right, let's get back to our jumping lines. Joan has been patiently waiting, and Joan, I'm sorry I keep pushing you back there, but the session, thank God, the Colorado State Legislature session is winding to a close, and the Democrats are trying to burn down anything and everything they can get their votes on. Tell us about the thing that you're most worried about now.
So I'm going to tell you a little bit about this bill. It's HB24-1463. And it was dropped just last Wednesday. And the people who dropped it was Representative Chris Kennedy, who's here in Lakewood, Representative Hansen, Representative Hartoff, and Senator Barbara Kirkmeyer. And this bill is to strip us from our water rights.
Let me just interrupt you for a second. I wanted to make a note. Republican State Senator Barbara Kirkmeyer. Go ahead.
Yes, I know. And
I know you, I know you know, but everybody doesn't necessarily know. Go ahead.
Yeah. So this bill was brought, and it is a bill that is trying to get between the water boards, which are officially elected local officials, and their constituents. And there is this thing in it. It's section 3-D, and it basically says that if a developer comes to you and says they want you to give them water that and sanitation, you have to do it, even if they're out of your district. And this is a real bugaboo, because they're written this specifically against the Green Mountain Water Board that has been fighting for us and trying to keep some of the development that they're trying to push on us in Lakewood at bay. And Chris Kennedy is saying, oh, the reason I'm putting this together is because we have ADUs, which is auxiliary dwelling units laws on the books here in Lakewood, but nobody's using it because the tap fees that they have to get are too high. So they want to come in and tell us what the tap fees should be for these water boards. This is insane. The reason why we have local control is so that we can have local issues. And the Green Mountain Water Board has been tremendous at being there to keep progressive stuff away. And the one thing people don't understand is that if you take away the tap fees, the only other source of revenue for your water board is your bill. And this is another way of penalizing people for owning property.
You know, Joan, all you've got to do is look on virtually every street corner. It's all around us here at the palatial 710 CAN-US studio, where they're building up these cubicles, you know, these few hundred square feet. They're not even apartments anymore. They're like glorified cardboard boxes to pack people in, stick them near a light rail, stick them near a bus line, and overcrowding the never repaired roads. They want to be in total control. They want to get people out of the urban areas, pack them into the cities where they can, you know, drive them like the sheeple that so many of them are. And they want to control everything. Democrats want to control everything. And the point you made about local control, that is the greatest asset to my version of effective government. the local decisions should be made locally by the people closest to the problem. And the founding fathers understood the value of having the people in charge when they made the House of Representatives, gave them the power of the purse string, and had them stand for re-election every 2 years. If you didn't like what they were doing, you could change the people who were spending the money. And the Republicans have given up that power. Somebody texted in, and I forget what they said, but why does the Senate won't vote for it stop the House Republicans, but the House won't vote for it doesn't stop the Senate Democrats one bit? It's so very frustrating. So is there anything people can do about this restricting tap fees bill?
Well, it's being heard on Tuesday in the Transportation, Housing, and Local Government Committee. It's Tuesday, April 30th, and this is the drop-dead date, I think, for getting anything passed, because I believe May 6th is. Anyway, you can go and you can do remote testimony. You can email any one of the four people that I just talked to you about. You can go and look and see the Transportation, Housing, and Local Government Committee and email those people. I know that there is going to be some of us that are going down there to testify in person. But I also want to say to you, on the same day, they are looking at this bill called HB 24-1313. And this is something about communities on transportation corridors, housing on transportation corridors. And what they want to do is they want to make it so that with all these transportation corridors, they want to make it a half mile on either side belongs to them for stuffing more of those developments that make people just crazy because they're so small. And anyway, it's more development. And
so do you mean they're going to take private property, use eminent domain to try and take more property? Is that what you're talking about?
Yep.
Okay. Colorful Colorado, baby. Welcome. More and more people leaving every day.
That bill, 1313, and I remember it because it's evil 1313, is such that there's so much opposition to it that they have held it over twice. And I actually wrote my testimony and gave it to the governor's office. I called the governor and said, they're trying to amend this now, you know, because nobody is going to nobody likes what it is. So now we're going to amend it. And I'm sitting here going, I don't care how much you grease a pig, it ain't going to fly.
Well, Joan, it's activists like you that give me hope. So many people on the ground doing their part in small ways and large ways. And that's how you stop a freight train. You get enough courageous people in front of them and you start pushing back and you refuse to back down. And if more and more of us don't do it, not only is our state going to be flushed, but the country is right on the verge. So this upcoming election season, very, very important. Thanks for the information, Joan. Thanks for your hard work. And I'm sure I will see you soon. All right. The hour has come to an end. So Carol and Karen, sit tight. We'll roll over to you on the other side. I don't want to cut you super short as the music is already in the background. Some good news if you despise creepy, sleepy, showered with daughter Joe Biden about his polling numbers right now. The least popular president in 70 years. We'll share some details on that. I also want to introduce you to a racist black professor in California. His name is Dante King. You won't believe it.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.